Everyone, welcome back into a great new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. I'm so excited about our show today. I'm so excited. Not only are we going to one of our favorite theaters, but we have an incredible work to be sharing with you. And doing so, we have the playwright TJ Young and the director Haley Rice joining us. They're here to talk about Theater for the People's presentation of Sperm Donor Wanted, or the Unnamed Baby Play. It's happening April 11th through the 28th at the Chain Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting eventbrite.com. As I mentioned, we love this venue. The Chain Theater is absolutely amazing, and they have done it again with this great work by TJ, Sperm Donor Wanted. So why don't we go ahead and just welcome on our guests so we can get to it. TJ, Haley, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. I'm
so
excited
to be here.
Thank you. Me too.
I'm thrilled to have you here. I'm thrilled about this show. As I mentioned, the minute the press release hit our email and reading it, I was like, Chain Theater, check. Story, check. I was like all about this. So I'm so happy you're here. And TJ, I want to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
Yeah, 100%. So the show is about two queer couples. We have Lisa and Bex, who already have a child from one of their previous relationships, but they want to have another one. And so they reach out on Craigslist to find someone to help donate sperm. And they meet up with Aaron and Charles, another gay couple, and they agree to go on this adventure with Lisa and Bex. And it is really the story about two couples navigating what it's like to try to enter parenthood, either for the first time or again. But more so, it's a story about four people who, through this experience, find out truths about themselves, truths about the way that they relate to their partner, and also just navigate the weirdness of, you know, finding someone to help have a baby with on Craigslist. It's a comedy until it's not, is what I like to say. It's funny until it's not, which is, I think, a hallmark of all of my work. But yeah, and it's really four people on stage doing it all, very stripped down, very bare bones, very character-driven, actor-driven sort of script.
That is so wonderful. Like I said, listeners, the story is incredible. This is an incredible piece. And TJ, I want to pick your brain a little bit more, and I'm interested to know, what inspired you to write this?
Funny you should ask. So me and my ex-husband actually tried to help a lesbian couple get pregnant that we found on Craigslist, right? So part of it is inspired on real life events. All parties have read the script. So, you know, everything like that. But part of it is inspired on real events. And then as good, you know, playwrights do, we take what we know and we dramatize it and we make it theatrical. So it's really spun after that. And it was a script that I started in February. I remember Valentine's Day of 2020. And decide to finish by my birthday, which was February 29th, 2020, right? So I wrote the first draft in 2 weeks because I just had to get it out. And yeah, so it really came from like a need to express and explore this really bizarre portion of my life when I was still living in San Antonio and put it on stage. Yeah.
Wow. Haley, I want to come to you now. You're the director of this piece. How did you come upon this work?
Oh, that's actually very funny. In like winter of 2022, I believe, I was actually asked to come in and read for Lisa in a reading that we did on Zoom. It was the first time I had, I think, met TJ. And I had kind of always just associated being an actor in the piece. And then I ended up curated a new work series that just kind of supports the development of new plays. And I really loved this piece. So I put it in it with TJ's permission and we did it. And Isaac Byrne actually ended up directing that in the new work series last year. So yeah, it's been a little bit of a journey.
Oh, wonderful. Haley, sticking with you, I'm curious to know, what has it been like developing this piece?
I mean, it's been really special with the actors. I actually selected them from my community, two of which are a real life couple. The women playing Bex and Lisa, Sivia Grasso and Bria Kala, are friends of mine, and they live in Cape Cod right now. So we've been on Zoom doing work. And it's funny when you have a script that just kind of the actors reading it at the table read, and it like we could just take it and open the next day if they had it memorized. Like it's that wonderful. So in the development process, it's just finding the layers and strengthening the conflict between just a little, just raising the notch, turning the burner up a little bit. But yeah, it's been delightful.
Fabulous. TJ, how about you? What's it been like developing the show, getting your work on its feet, all of that?
Yeah, I'm really happy that Haley is the director because A, Haley is a fantastic writer herself, and so she understands the importance of like letting what's happening on the page just happen, right? And so I'm really fortunate in that. But then also Haley and the cast have really kind of cracked open a central question that I have in the play, because the play is essentially, I would call it a monologue play, right? There's scenes, but there's a lot, they have a lot of monologues. For that, I do apologize. But
Thank you.
there is the fourth wall is non-existent in this piece, right? So there's scene work, there are the actors acting as other characters besides their main character, and then there's them acting as themselves in the present, retelling the past to the audience. And so finding all the interplay in the way that the story can be amplified, because this is, I want to say, one of the rare times that your characters are going in knowing the end, right? And so because they know that, it informs everything from the very beginning. And so finding ways that it weaves throughout the story in ways that works, and maybe places where it might need to be bolstered or anything like that, has been really helpful, because it's something that the interplay between people in real space is just something I can't do in my head, right? But hearing the way that Haley's working through the script with the actors, it really makes it clear, like, if the script is a roadmap, where can I support them? Where am I leading them astray? And what juicy tidbits can they find between the interplay of humans?
Wonderful. TJ, I want to ask you, what is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from Sperm Donor Wanted?
Yeah, that you can find anything on Craigslist. No. Realistically, it is a play about queer individuals, but their queerness is not the central conflict. They are four people who are just absolutely entangled in this super bizarre way. The thing I want them to think about is the fact that creating families in a non-traditional structure can be difficult, and that takes a level of support, but also there are emotions regardless, and it gets complicated. But also not to judge people. I would say at the very beginning of the play, there's a very, I want to say, clear antagonistic force in one of the characters, right? But by the end of it, it's about understanding the complexity of a person's wants, desires, and needs throughout their life, and how that plays into their decision making, and also a level of forgiveness, because you start to understand what people really kind of need from life. And if nothing else, I hope they come and laugh, because I do think it is funny. I hope it's funny. Haley would tell me if it's not funny.
It is very funny, and we will be laughing if nothing else.
Yes. But yeah, really, I think that I haven't seen a play that confronts this issue in this way. So I'm hoping, just humanize, start to build empathy for individuals who it's not so easy to have a baby because of their sexual orientation,
That's fantastic and a very timely message and story to be telling. Yes. Haley, as the director, I want to ask you the same thing. What is the message or thought you're hoping audiences take away?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to TJ. In working this with these actors, I've kind of been confronted with my own handling of conflict, especially in the business, but in my relationships. And I feel like I hope audiences walk away with this idea that they're like in this play, at least there are four sides to this coin. There's always a different perspective. And when we butt heads with each other, can we walk in each other's shoes a little bit? And it definitely has made me, think about conflict with my partner, and am I going to get that angry when he doesn't change the toilet paper roll after it runs out, just based on this play and the complicated nature of their conflict and how they are able to shatter. I mean, all four of these characters are shattered at some point in this piece, and how they move forward and pick up the pieces and find a way to connect even after they are broken. It's very inspiring.
That sounds it. Yeah, that's wonderful. My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to this work? And Haley, I'm going to start with you first on that.
Everyone in Alabama right now. I don't know. I mean, just especially with, abortion rights and anyone with considering having children or not having children, giving access to anyone who wants to adopt and take care of a child. I think that we need to consider seeing this play. I would like that very much.
Amen, and say it again for the people in the back. Absolutely. TJ, how about you? Who are you hoping to have access to this?
Yeah, any queer individual who thought that they couldn't have a family, anybody who has experienced individuals who come from non-traditional families, and really even the people who have, I think that it's one of those things where it really is for me about building empathy, right? I think that theater explains life to the living, but it also explains other people's lives to you as well. And I, in a very contentious election year, I think that moving through a space with empathy for other individuals is very important. And so I'm hoping that anyone who might need a little practice in empathy also has access to this book.
For the second part of our interview, we love to change things up and let our listeners get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull that curtain back, if you will. And I want to start with our perennial question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites? And TJ, if I could start with you on that, that would be amazing.
This answer is an easy one for me. My writing changed and my approach to writing and my approach to storytelling changed after seeing Passing Strange. And I got to meet Stu, and it's the only theater, like, I love all theater artists. Don't get me wrong. He's the only theater artist I've, like, I sobbed in front of him. I wept, which probably weirded him out. But, there's something about the freedom of language and movement of time and place and space in that piece that just broke something open for me in a way that I feel like I'm constantly chasing that dragon. Yeah. And Susie Laurie Parks. And oddly enough, Neil Simon. I know that a lot of his plays don't necessarily like, we shouldn't do them today, but there's something about the comedic structure and the understanding of a punchline and how the comedy is still rooted in character that I love that from his work.
A wonderful list there. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for that. Haley, how about you? What or who inspires you?
I mean, I have a lot of different artistic facets, and I love, I actually was a musical theater girly. I was raised on Golden Age musicals, and I think the reason that I'm living in New York City right now is Jason Robert Brown. Someone in the hallway in high school passed me a copy, a burned CD of the last 5 years, and I can still hear the opening, like, tinkles on the piano of Still Hurting and just full body chill. Like, I knew, like, I was, that took me to the city. So I think anything storytelling through music is a big passion of mine. I got to see Parade when it was up in August. That was like a huge, because I remember studying it freshman year of college. I was a vocal major, and our department didn't have a musical theater program, and I just was like hungry in the library listening to all these musicals. And if someone recommended Parade, and I was like, one day I'm going to see this. And it was like 15 years later, but I did. I got to see it.
Fantastic inspirations. I love it. What is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Haley, I'm going to start with you on this.
I love community. I think that's my biggest thing. I as a theater maker, I move forward first with community. I love being able to recommend actors I worked with to other people in production. I love seeing writers that I've taught get their readings done by other companies. I love like connecting to someone at a party and then like, oh my gosh, you need to meet this person. And then just creating a theater family in this like crazy city that's hard to live in and hard to make money and survive in, to have a large network of humans that I know will take care of me. That's, I think, my favorite thing about theater.
That is a fabulous answer. TJ, how about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a it's community also, but I'm gonna have a slightly different approach because I'm also an educator. I'm a professor, and to me, it is that moment when you see a group of students connect or and gel around a piece, and you're like, and they will never be the same, right? And seeing that happen, it's funny because I'm actually in Abilene, Texas right now at a theater festival, and I got to see probably the most grounded and joyful and well-connected production of Blood at the Root that from the University of New Orleans. And when I tell you that, just talking to them about the way the community rallied around those students, and it was one of the cast members' birthdays during a show, and they were going to have a little party for them. People from the community brought extra food and a table and fed the cast. Like, that's And I was like, that proves to me that they did the work to instill themselves and make the community know how important the story is and how they're going to take care of them in that process. And for a student to have that is, I think it's the reason why we can have lifelong theater artists, even though the industry is hard, because they say we could get back to that place. And I am fortunate to be a teacher and see that over and over and over again.
That is so wonderful. I adore that. Adore that. Well, now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
Kind of a weird one, but because I told you I'm a Golden Age musical theater girly, raised in like, I have studied vocal, my voice and opera in my undergrad. And so my freshman year, I just happened to go see like the theater department's production of Pillow Man. And when I tell you, sitting in that theater, I talk about like never being the same. I remember sitting and watching this production and like I didn't know theater could be that. I thought it had to be, you know, like an ingenue and a love interest and a conflict and then a big wedding at the end. I did not know that theater could do that and make me feel that way. And I think I'm like was changed on like a molecular level. I think I went back and saw it 3 times too on my freshman no money salary. I was like just riveted.
Wow, what a memory. What a show. That's amazing. Thank you for that. PJ, how about you?
Ooh, favorite is hard, but I think it's the opening of the second act of The Lion King, specifically because the moment where the savannah dries up and it's just the pulling of a blue scarf through a hole on the stage. In that moment, I was like, I get theatricality. Like, I understand how I understood because, I mean, I grew up in Houston, Texas. So I was seeing plays and stuff like that, sure. But like the first big professional thing I saw was Beauty and the Beast. And it's just magic and spectacle and stuff like that. Not to say The Lion King isn't spectacle, but that was simplistic spectacle. And I was like, the mind will fill in the blanks if you just use the tools and the context. And that changed the way I look at theater and look at things. And when I first started writing, it really was like, what can I do with five people, three rehearsal squares, and like a lamppost? You know what I mean? And like, how can those things be transformed? To this day, I have seen The Lion King 7 times. I've paid that Lion King money 7 times. And it's all just for that moment.
That is incredible. What a memory. Thank you for that. Thank you both for those amazing memories. Fabulous. Well, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Yeah, I curate the new work series. It helps develop new plays. And on March 8th, Friday, March 8th, 7:30, we have Laurie Savage's play Silent Treatment, directed by Mahina Bowyer, who's in our co-op for Theater for the People at MCS Theater on 36th Street. And it's a beautiful play on talking about the repercussions of gun violence in a small community in small town America, and really important stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. Anything for you, TJ?
I get to do something for high school kids. I'm going to be writing a one act for the International Thespians Festival. That is a play on the teenage coming of age sort of trope, where the main character sees their entire life through film genres. So, gym class is a war film, math class is a zombie flick, things, lunch is a cooking show. And so it's, I'm just gonna have fun. I'm just gonna write and have fun with it and, write that big cast that high school plays need. I was talking to the people who commissioned it and I said, I was thinking about six or eight. They're like 14. I was like, 14. Yeah, 14. You're right.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. It's wonderful. So it sounds like you've both got some irons in the fire that we need to keep tabs on, and that's a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Sperm Donor Wanted or the Unnamed Baby Play, or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Yeah, so you can get information about the show at theaterforthepeople.com, where all the information about the show is. Also, follow us on Facebook and Instagram, where you will get probably faster information in post, right? Especially because we're about to launch a fundraising effort to we here's the thing, we pay our actors, we pay our designers, and we're all self-funded. So anyway that any funding that you do for this show not only helps this show, but it also continues our efforts in promoting new works and producing new works, not just giving them readings, not just keeping them in development hell, but producing them, right? And producing shows is expensive. So any money anyone can give is great. And personally, you can reach me at tj-young.com, and that's my personal website. Yeah, I'm really bad at keeping up with the news section of it, I will admit, but.
And then Haley, how about you?
Yeah, HaleyRice.com, and then the Tales, Tales of Hales on Instagram. So the Tales of Hales.
Oh yeah, my Instagram, TJ writes good.
Oh, that is one of my favorites.
Wonderful. Well, TJ, Haley, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me, sharing this incredible work. I am so excited. April can't come fast enough. So, really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. This was awesome. I had a great time.
Oh, thank you. My guests today have been the amazing playwright TJ Young and the incredible director Haley Rice, both who are part of the new work being presented by Theater for the People, Sperm Donor Wanted, or the Unnamed Baby Play. It's happening April 11th through the 28th at the Chain Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting eventbrite.com. And we also have some contact information for Theater for the People and TJ and Haley, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But get your tickets now. This is going to sell out. This is going to be a huge hit for the spring. You don't want to miss out on it. The show is Sperm Donor Wanted or the Unnamed Baby Play, happening April 11th through the 28th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.